Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Good morning, everyone. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that apparently the U.S. government may be considering a change in policy or a change in strategy in Afghanistan and is possibly floating the idea of officially engaging with the Taliban, either through intermediaries or direct diplomatic negotiations. The plan has the support, according to the Wall Street Journal, of General David Petraeus, and may be getting some attention in the reaches of the White House. Yesterday, White House spokeswoman Dana Perino discussed the matter with the reporters.
We realize that we have to try to reconcile some of these groups, but whether or not some elements of the Taliban would renounce violence and extremism and work for the greater good of Afghanistan remains to be seen.
Does reconciliation mean direct engagement with the Taliban? It's what the Wall Street Journal has reported. It's not confirmed by the administration, but with plenty of experience of dealing with the Taliban, we turn to former permanent representative to the United Nations from Pakistan, Ambassador Munir Akram, who joins us from Geneva. Ambassador, thanks for being with us.
Nice to be with you again.
In your experience, what is the value of directly engaging the Taliban in dialogue?
I think that if one has to bring the war in Afghanistan to an end, you would have to negotiate with the people who are engaged in that war. There are two basic parties. One is the Al-Qaeda. You cannot negotiate with them. That's the objective of the war. But the Taliban are a collateral enemy. And in order to bring peace to Afghanistan, I think that we will have to negotiate and to reach some arrangement with the Taliban to stabilize Afghanistan.
In your experience, when negotiations have taken place between parties and the Taliban, how open are they to discussing security issues? Or, you know, what is the agenda that you typically find?
Well, of course, they have their own agenda. They were in power and they were ousted by the U.S. intervention. So obviously, they want power or they want to share in power, especially in the South and Southeast. Obviously, they would want to resume some sort of position of power and authority. At the same time, they know that they cannot win against major coalition forces or Pakistani forces, and they will therefore have to compromise. There are five distinct command centers for the Taliban, at least they were until a year and a half ago. And one could try to negotiate with those separate command centers, but one has to open the negotiations with an open mind, not with preconditions that we know would not be acceptable to the other side.
Ambassador, do you believe this Wall Street Journal story?
Well, you know, yesterday, the Jirga, which was meeting in Islamabad, the Afghan-Pakistan Jirga, has called for talks with the Taliban. And I think that this obviously could not have been done without some sort of coordination with Washington. So there is movement. I don't know whether the movement towards dialogue is sufficient or a genuine movement, but there apparently there seems to be a review of policy, and it's a good thing there's a review of policy. I believe that there should be a comprehensive review and revision of policy to succeed in Afghanistan and in Pakistan.
Ambassador, we've heard experts make a distinction between Pakistani Taliban, Afghan Taliban. Is it clear who is the Taliban and who represents the leadership?
Well, this is precisely. I think that one has to analyze the whole Taliban movement in order to understand who's who and who one has to deal with where. There, to my information, there are five command centers within Afghanistan. Mullah Omar is one of them, Jalaluddin Haqqani, and there are three others that have different locales of power in southern and eastern Afghanistan. On the Pakistani side, there are militant movements who are sympathetic to, who have ideological association with the Taliban, but did not arise from the Taliban. They have separate genesis and separate modus operandi. But they have begun to coalesce now under what is called the Tehrik-e-Taliban Pakistan. But they are distinct from the Taliban in Afghanistan. So one has to understand each of these movements when we are talking to them, negotiating with them, to understand how far to go and what kind of arrangements we can make with each one of them.
There is historical precedent, Mr. Ambassador, for nations having contacts with intermediaries and parties in the middle of a presidential campaign. We certainly saw that in the hostage situation during the Carter administration, the waning days of the Carter administration. You called for a complete review of U.S.-Afghanistan policy on this program a little more than a week ago. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if you have any information as to whether officials in the Pakistan government are in touch with members of the Barack Obama campaign or the John McCain campaign?
Well, I'm sure that our ambassador in Washington and our authorities in Islamabad must be conveying our thoughts to both campaigns. I'm sure that we would be remiss if we did not do so.
But would you say active discussions are underway with the Barack Obama campaign?
I would perhaps not go so far. Because, as you know, Mr. Obama has made certain statements which have caused concern in Pakistan. But we certainly need to talk to the campaign of Mr. Obama. And I think it's more necessary to talk to him than with the other campaign.
Well, you must have said something wrong because your government's on the line there. Your cell phone is ringing. I'll let you get the phone there.
Unfortunately, not answerable to my government anymore.
All right. Former permanent representative to the United Nations from Pakistan, Ambassador Munir Akram, thanks for speaking with us from Geneva.
Thank you, John.